Now we're going to go from astrology and astrologists to witch hunting on Sunday Extra, because the University of Melbourne has acquired a rare 1494 edition of the Malleus Maleficarum, or the Hammer of the Witches, the infamous text that led to the torture and execution of tens of thousands of women and men deemed to be witches across Europe. To tell us more about this deadly tome, we're joined now by Dr. Charlotte Miller, Senior Lecturer in History at the University of Melbourne. And one of the subjects that Charlotte teaches is witch hunting in European societies. And she's also the author of Witchcraft, the Devil, an Emotion in Early Modern Europe. Charlotte, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, tell us more about this new acquisition of a very old book. What is the Malleus Maleficarum, and why has the University of Melbourne bought one?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people will have heard of the Malleus Maleficarum, or the Hammer of Witches, as you say. So it's a 500-year-old text that argues very strongly that witches are a real threat, and that also witches are more likely to be women. And one of the things that makes this book different from sort of books that came before it is it was printed, which means it wasn't handwritten, it was printed, so it was able to be circulated really widely, so a lot of people read it. And part of the reason the university was so keen to get their hands on it is this book really had a huge impact on the witchcraft trials that followed shortly after it was written as well. And it's something we teach across numerous subjects. So we're excited for the students to be able to actually see it in person and talk more about it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Now, in terms of the impact of the Malleus Maleficarum, we were talking before about an American astrologer who sold 60 million copies of her astrology book. I imagine the Malleus Maleficarum probably didn't quite get level of sales.
No.
But I mean, I suppose how influential and significant was it as a work?
Yeah, so it's published in the 1480s, and then the copy we've bought from 1494 was published by Anton Koberger, who was a very important printer. It's originally written in Latin, but it's very quickly translated into German, French, and Dutch. It circulated across Europe. I think there's about 30 editions by the end of the 17th century, which, you know, doesn't sound great compared to 60 million, but for the 16th century, it's a lot of copies. We know that people who wrote other books about witch hunting reference it because they refer to it. And the other thing that it does is it's not kind of meant to be a theoretical text. It's meant to be a guide to this is how you as a magistrate or a judge should prosecute witches. So we also know that a lot of legal professionals had a copy to refer to as well.
Interesting. So why did the author of this book actually write it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Heinrich Kramer, he was an inquisitor, he was a monk. So part of his job, his job really was to find heretics. And when he was trying to do this in the 1480s, he was convinced that there was this new form of heretic called the witch. But this idea hadn't really caught on. People knew there were witches, but they weren't convinced they were this huge sort of demonic threat that Kramer was convinced they were. He tries to prosecute a woman called Helena Sherburn, and he's basically laughed out of court. And he has to leave the town. And it doesn't go very well. So he goes off and he writes this book frantically. He writes it in about 9 months, and it's a long book. He gets the Pope to endorse it. The Pope says, you have to listen to Kramer. He's right.
Not a bad blurb for the front of your book.
Exactly. Sort of the celebrity endorsement there. And so really, I think he writes it because he is convinced that witches are dangerous and people aren't taking him seriously. So he wants that kind of authority of the book and the papal, you know, the strength behind that as well.
Really interesting. And in terms of the copy that the University of Melbourne has purchased, is it just the printed copy, or are there other aspects of the manuscript or the text itself that are of historical interest?
Yeah, we still need to look at it closely because we only got it a few weeks ago. But there there are annotations all over it. There are little fingers that somebody has drawn. They're called manicules, pointing to bits the person thinks is interesting. So it will be really, really cool to look at that in depth. It's also a really it's a unique copy because it's only been held in about two different hands over 500 years. So it's in great condition as well. So it'll be really interesting to trace the history of why the person who had this one had this in particular. But it would have been something that any sort of well-educated person would have said, well, I have that in my library as well. But it will be great to show the students that books are unique. They're not just sort of texts on the internet, that each book is different and that they can see it and they can see the impact of someone actually making annotations from 500 years ago as well.
That does sound really interesting. So as you've said, it's a inquisitorial handbook. Mm-hmm. I gather it's split up into three parts. So I suppose spoiler alert for anyone who's going to read the whole thing. But what's in the three parts of the Malleus Maleficarum, Charlotte?
I mean, I think maybe I'll take you to what I think is possibly the most dangerous part, which
is
in part one, the end of part one, question six. He talks about why women are more likely to be witches, because before then people have thought, well, anyone can really be a witch. Mm. But he says, no, it's women. And he says that's for two main reasons. Firstly, women, as we know from the Bible and the example of Eve, women are just inherently evil, and so they're much more likely to form a pact with the devil, which is what witches are believed to do. And also he believes they're inherently stupid. So if the devil is going to try and trick someone into witchcraft, he's going to focus on women. And I think the thing that's interesting about Kramer is that the author is he's really misogynistic even for his time.
So I was going to ask you about that, because I was wondering whether, you know, what we're hearing from Kramer is kind of just like whatever was in the medieval mainstream at the time, or is this more of a glimpse into like the 15th century equivalent of the Manosphere?
Yeah, I think there are some Manosphere associations, unfortunately. I mean, he quotes a lot of ancient authorities who do say negative things about women. So he's not sort of reinventing the wheel, but he puts them all together. And so he really just sort of layers and layers and layers. I think he says that women are a necessary evil. They try and seduce you. And this is coming from a celibate monk as well, which is slightly interesting. but he really thinks that they are this absolute evil. And then what that leads to as well is a lot of artists start depicting witches as sort of seductive evil women, often naked evil women as well. So it has an impact visually as well, because of course a lot of people wouldn't be able to read the Malleus at the time because there's high rates of illiteracy, but the ideas still spread visually as well. So it has quite a wide audience in that way.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Charlotte Miller, Senior Lecturer in History at the University of Melbourne, about their acquisition of the 1494 edition of the Malleus Maleficarum. And as you said, Charlotte, the book itself was sort of born of the disappointment of a failed prosecution. Did the circulation of the book and its popularity affect the way future legal prosecutions of witches occur?
Definitely. And because the other thing that the book really pushes is that not only are witches women, he also argues, well, witchcraft is an exceptional crime. It's one of the worst crimes you can commit, but it's hard to prove, as you can imagine. And so he says that, well, because it's an exceptional crime, we need to be able to use exceptional methods to prove it. And so he argues for the use of torture. And we might think that people in the medieval world are just torturing whenever they feel like it, but they're not.
Right.
It's actually illegal to torture. You need to justify it. And so he really has these strong justifications for the use of torture, because he says the only way you can really convict witches is through a confession. So we need that confession. And the thing that really spirals here is that the idea is that witches are in league with the devil, which means that they go and meet the devil, they meet other witches. So when a witch confesses under torture, she's then forced to name her accomplices. So she might confess and name five people, and then those five people are tortured and they name five more people each. So it really spirals out from that use of aggressive torture, which is really, really strongly advocated in the Malleus.
I'm not sure whether there's enough of a historical record to reflect this, but do you then see increased rates of prosecution of witches? And do you see then a distinct gendering of those prosecutions in a way that wasn't the case previously?
Absolutely. So the Malleus, when it's being written in the 1480s, the witchcraft trials are only just starting. So when we talk about the witchcraft trials, we're really talking about sort of 10 or 15 years later for the 16th century. So it's really at that start of the formulation of what is a witch and how do we get them. So across Europe, we think there were probably about 90,000 people accused of witchcraft. About half of those were executed, so about 45,000 of them. And 90% of those were women. are. So it's a really, it does differ via countries, but in the German-speaking lands, in Switzerland, in France, in Scotland, all of those places, it's a majority women. So I think that it is, you know, there are other factors, but it's definitely an important one.
That is fascinating. We've had a text in from Trevor who asks, what were the production methods of this book? Was it press and movable type?
Oh, it's a good question. I think so, yes. That still, though, when it's being, the copy we have from 1494 is a very early example of printing. And so what it actually is it's the press and movable type, but then the red letters in it, which is sort of to highlight things, have been handwritten in. So it's still very much a mixed production, actually, because we're still in early printing.
Really, really interesting. Hey, Charlotte, have you had a chance to look at the book yet yourself?
I have. Spent some time with it.
Tell us about it.
Oh, it's quite cool because you sort of have, I've been teaching this for years, but you think, well, there's the letter from the Pope and there's the section about women being evil, and really very cool. And it's in fantastic condition. It has its original binding from 500 years ago. It still has little metal clasps to hold it together, again, for 500 years ago. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to spending more time with it, although some people online said I shouldn't touch it because it was evil, but I'm taking my chances
Fair enough. Okay, all right. Well, look, so far, you know, it seems like it hasn't had too many bad outcomes. But, I mean, what is actually going to happen with the physical book itself? You mentioned students. Like, if there are people in Melbourne who are interested in this subject, hopefully not interested in prosecuting yes. witches, like, will the book itself be available for people to view?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, it'll be up to the Ware Books librarians, but I think that that would be possible. We're doing two talks, one on the 10th of September and one on the 24th of September called Deadly Stereotypes, Witches as Women, where we'll have the book out and people can come and ask questions about it and talk about it. But obviously it would be great for it to be on display more permanently, so I'll definitely be talking to the library about that.
And how much did the book cost, Charlotte?
I believe it cost $160,000, and I know. But Melbourne Uni is very lucky to have a bequest called the Pitt Bequest, which is a separate bequest. It can only be used for purchasing history books. Mm. I believe this is the most expensive purchase that's ever been made, but I'm not sure about that. But, yes, it's rare for uni to buy something like this. But they just thought that, I think, because we have numerous researchers who work on this text, it's taught across numerous subjects, it felt like a really important and exciting acquisition.
Yeah, that is really interesting, and it's great to obviously to have access to a fund which is specifically for that purpose. Did the work itself come on sale, or did the University of Melbourne had to sort of try and track down a copy and persuade the seller?
I believe it did come on sale, and I'm not sure why it was put up for sale, but it doesn't happen very often, obviously, so I think they jumped on it.
Well, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra this morning, Charlotte, to talk about the manual for prosecuting witches now available at the University of Melbourne.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's been great speaking with you. That's Dr. Charlotte Miller, Senior Lecturer in History at the University of Melbourne. And one of the subjects that Charlotte teaches is witch hunting in European societies. She's also the author of the book Witchcraft, The Devil, Emotion and The Devil and Emotion in Early Modern Europe. And you're listening to Sunday Extra. Julian Morrow with you. And it's 31 minutes past 8.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.